जय अंशुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदा श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की
जय।
ओम नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदा श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम वृंद राधा गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वानिसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तुते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे पुण्यमरविन्दायुमत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शैलग्राहवती कृपेण वहिनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमगरा दुर्योधना वर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवी रणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर सरोजमलम गीतार्थगंधोत्कटम नानाख्यान केसरम हरिगदा संबोधना बोधितम लोकई सज्जन शल्पगैर हर पेबीयमानम मुदा भूयात् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसेन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्द माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्वनन्दि दिव्यै स्तवै वेदै सांगवदै क्रम औपनिषदैर्गायन्दियं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधमे सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणां Krishna spoke about the five causes behind everything. And in the next verse, he mentioned Adhishthanam Tatha Karta Karananca Pratak Vidam Vividasya Pratak Cheshta Devam Chaivatra Panjamam. So, main point Krishna is driving at is that this Devam Chaivatra Panjamam is a force that is difficult to reckon with because it's not in our control. Yeah. So, Devam, when he is referring to, is not in the meaning Ishvara, not in that context he has spoken. On the other hand, it is that what we call it as destiny or fate or results of karma, or you can say that that unseen cause behind everything, right? And you can see that playing a role in all our life. If you look at your own life, you will see how this Devam plays the role. How you plan something, you do something with some results, expectations, something else comes back, and that is Deva. Mm-hmm. So you can call it any reason for that, but because of this Devam, you can never say that you will get the result what you are expecting from the karma. Everybody won't get the results what they expect from the karma, right? You can see sometimes people, when they are, they get attached to having a nice house to live, and they say that their dream house, they call it, and spend all their time and energy in life to materialize that, right? And they'll build the plan properly, and architect involved, and they'll make sure that everything in the house is bought to their liking. And they'll go and choose it from all different places, how to build a house, and architect everybody, right? And with the swimming pool, with all facilities, everything, right? And when they have built all these houses, before they could move into the house, he dies and goes from this world. This is quite often it happens. This always happens. This many, many times this has happened, right? So after building the house, I'll enter into the house and live comfortably. And you know the ceremony, Griha Pravesha ceremony into the house, and all, they perform very well. And before that happens, left the world, right? That is Devam. That is Devam, right? Everything else is human effort. But that one thing, he is not allowed to stay there, that's Devam. So, he has performed everything perfectly, but then why don't he stay there? No. Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. That is what Krishna is talking about. Vidhasya Pratakshesta Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. Right? So, once you know this law, once you know this principle, right, then you don't expect too much, and then also you won't get disturbed over it, thinking about it. You don't get worried about it, because that's the way it is, right? Because this force is playing in everybody's life. Only thing is, you'll have to look back into your own life and you will see how this force is playing in everyone's life, right? So therefore, we don't have any opposition or hate against that, right? Because we don't have the control over it, right? And that is what Ramachandra was saying to Lakshmana, that you have to take this into account, right? He says, Ramachandra, while talking to Lakshmana, he says, even great rishis who perform tapas, heavy penances, right? Even they, their tapas has been broken by interference from the higher force, this higher force. And they had given up their austerities and penances and got into trouble afterwards. There are many examples among the rishis also, this happening, right? And that is why that word was used there, kritande. Sanghe kritande proktani. Kritandam means that, right? Kritandam is another name for Devam. Kritandam. That means whatever you do, he smashes it off. You may have some plans, but he smashes the whole thing. Kritandam. What he does is, it will pull you in this way or that way, and you will lose your power to do what you want to do. It will do that, right? It is strange. If you look your own life, you will see, right? You are born in a particular place and you live there for some time, yeah? And you never thought you will end up in another place, somewhere else. There are many people who are born in one place and they ended up in America at the end, right? And they didn't want to go. It happened that way. Some force is dragging them to leave the country where they were born. Like when you were going to school and all that, we never thought we'll end up in a place totally different. We thought we'll live there, work somewhere, maybe we may go to the city, to Bangalore or Chennai or somewhere like that, and we'll work there and we'll retire there and we'll die there. This is what we were thinking. But life has turned out in a different way. And so it was meant to happen that way, and that's the way it happened, right? So, and on the other hand, some people trying very hard to go to America and they can't go because their prarabdham is there to finish. And these ones, their prarabdham is all over the world. The one who is around everywhere, right? So, some people will, they leave their home place where they were born and they will go and settle down somewhere else at the end, right? And then they will say, oh, it was nice to be at home, back home, it was, everything was good, right? And they didn't like it. It would have been nice if he had stayed back there. But why should they not stay there? No, they won't be able to stay. They won't be able to stay, right? Because this Devam has decided that this has to happen in his life, in this way. So Devam is a very powerful force. It decides many things on which you have no control. Right? So, in this way, if you look at your own life, you will see, or look at others' life also, how this force is working in our life, right? The way it plays in our life, right? Ramachandra says this to Lakshmana, that it is that force that has made him to come to forest as well, and made him to wander around through the forest. He could have comfortably sat in Ayodhya and lived there, but instead some forces dragged him, Ramchandra says, to come to forest and to spend time there, and then all the other things what happened afterwards, right? So, and before the coronation ceremony, installation of that, right, he wandered around forest so long, and Dasharatha arranged everything for him for the installation, but before the ceremony happened, he left. He had to come to the forest, right? And ultimately, he wandered around and then arrived in the Dandakaranyam forest, right? And then he went further south and eventually arrived in Sri Lanka, and he built the bridge and crossed over there, right? So he's saying that what has made all these things to happen, that's what he's calling that Kridandam. That is that force Kridandam. Yeah. And that is what is, another word is Devam. Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. It is an unusual power, and we have no hands in that. We have no control over it. We have no control over it, right? You may look at your own life, you may have this experience. I can tell you one or two instances like this, that one lady, she lived in Kerala, and she used to come to hear Bhagavatam a lot. She has heard a lot, and she knows everything about Bhagavatam. A lot of things she has understood from Bhagavatam. And after hearing all that, she wanted to go to Badrinath. And it was her long-term desire to go to Badrinath, because when Krishna sends Uddhava to Badrinath at the end, all that scene is in her mind constantly, making her to think that he should one day at least to visit Badrinath and everything, right? And those days, I'm talking mid-80s this is, right? And she wanted to, she traveled by train. I went with her. She wanted to travel with an old lady. She had this intense desire to go to Badrinath at least once. And it was a long journey from Kerala. Those days there was no flights like today. Today we have a lot of planes and all that. But there were two trains at that time. And you have to change trains and everything. So it took a lot of effort for her to change train, book the ticket and everything. We came to Delhi and then went to Haridwar. And from Haridwar, unlike today, to Badrinath, you have a lot of traveling facilities now, a lot of cars going, roads widened and all that. In them days, the roads were only one way only you could travel. The traffic was not allowed both ways. So they will start the journey from Haridwar, and then they will allow all the vehicles to pass through and reach the top, and then they will open and allow them to come back, the ones who are waiting there. So there will be huge crow waiting there. Yeah, that was the system then, right? So this lady came and she stayed in Haridwar, looking forward to going to Badrinath and everything. But when they got there, and the day the ticket was booked, we had to go by bus, those buses, small buses they were, not big buses like today, small buses. And we came in the morning and got into the bus to travel. But then the message came that there was a huge landslide and the road is blocked. And it's not going to be clear for 3 or 4 days. It seems like that. So this is how it is. And with that, she had to cancel the trip and she went back by train. She was so upset and frustrated about it, but Devam Chevatra Panchamam. Krishna's decision is that you can't, in life so many times you will see this experience happening or again and again, right? Totally unexpected. There are many times this happened in different ways, right? So, you can see this kind of forces in life working, right? Like we say, man proposes, God disposes, this is what it is, right? We will make some decisions, but something else will happen in life, right? That is Devam Chaivatra Panchamam, right? So, there is a combination of different forces working. Factual forces, rational forces, natural forces, irrational power, all these things combined together is our life. It's a mixture of all these things, right? Factual means that body, Krishna is talking about here, adhishtanam tatha karta. Yeah? Adhishtanam is a body, and then karta, the doer, then karanam, the senses, and the reasoning, and all the actions coming from that, karmam, then this irrational force which comes in, after all that, devam, and which is illogical, and that is not in your hands. All other four, you are doing it. Body is the adhishtanam. You are the doer. Karta. Karanam, the senses are working. And the reasoning behind that. And then all the actions, karmam coming from that. And finally, this last one, this irrational force, devam chaivatra panchamam. Devam chaivatra panchamam. Right? All these things combined together is life. Life is a combination of all these things, right? Even if you have done everything correctly, right? That illogical element in that, right? Which does not belong to any logic. That power that does not accept logic. Devam. The fifth one. It does not accept logic in that. All other things, you can put logic through that, right? And when that will come in your life and create trouble, you won't be able to say that. When that illogical power will come and control your life, that's very difficult to say, right? And that's also from Prakriti, right? And that power is there. So, recognizing that power is Krishna saying all these things. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you have to take that power into account in your results. So, and these five together are the one which is Krishna is talking about in the next verse also. You can see there. Shariram va manobhiryat karma prarabhade nara nyayam va vibaridam va panchaidi tasya hetava. He's saying here that someone, with his body, the words, the mind, if he does any karma, which is dharmam, or which is against dharma, whatever it may be, these five things have influence on that. Yeah. So, shariram Vang manobhiriyat, right? That may be a good karma or a bad karma. It doesn't matter. Shariram, walk, words, mind. And with that, all this, when you begin the karma, prarabhave, whether it is good or bad, he's saying here, these five elements, you are engaging in karma. Yeah. Now, without body, you cannot do karma. And while doing the karma, you will be always affected by I am the doer. Kartrutvam will be there. Without that, it is difficult to do karma. And without senses, you cannot do that. Then the result of the karma will come. So all these things combined together is the karma happens, or that's what his life is all about, right? So shariram vaka manobhiyat karmam tribi edai prarabhade nirvartayati nara nyayam va dharmyam shastriyam vivaridam va ashastriyam adharmyam yat cha abhi nimishta cheshtita jivana hetu ta abhi purvakata dharma adharmayo eva karyam idi nyaya vivaridayo eva grahanena grihitam. What he is saying here is that in these five things, when they are working together, there is this unknown thing, Devam. Is it not? then ignorance of that, avidya, it is avidya, it is. Krishna says that when you are not conscious of that, it means that avidya is working. That means you are not fully knowledgeable about the way karmam gets done. Karmam is done, right? And Patanjali also says the same thing. He says avidya kshetram. Patanjali Yoga Sutram, you will see that. So this thing to happen like this, the root cause of that is avidya. Avidya is behind it, right? We'll explain that nicely. So, because from avidya only, that the root of everything is avidya. From avidya comes that me, that ahankaram comes first, right? Avidya is imposed by maya. And from that ahankaram comes, right? Then Patanjali will call it five different levels. Avidya, asmita, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham. This is the order in which it happens. And they Patanjali calls it as panchaklesham, five different kinds of suffering. Krishna has also accepted the same thing. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find Sankhyam, you will find Yogam, Ashtangi, Patanjali, Kapila Maharshi, Vedavyas. They have put everything together. That is what the beauty of Bhagavad Gita is. Bhagavad Gita has not rejected any of them. Different rishis, what they have spoken. Vedavyas has incorporated all that into Bhagavad Gita. So he has accepted Patanjali and all these things. And he has accepted Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam also. And Patanjali's Yogam. And then he has brought Vedantam above everything else. Right? So Patanjali is saying that this material existence, what we have, is called a samsaram. Suffering here. Right? And the root cause, according to him, is avidya. Ignorance. Right? Not knowing or unawareness. So, in that avidya, this thing pops up. I am, right? And he has this abhimanam or ahankaram in him, right? Then when he has popped up like that, then it is he who has ragam dvesham. He gets it, right? Then, then he gets caught up in that cycle. Avidya, asmita, ragam, dvesha, abhinivesham, in that cycle, right? And because of avidya, he is thinking that this I am, that awareness in him, because of that karmam starts. So karmam comes after this only. Prior to that, all the other things happen. And then
Avidya, Asmita, Ragam, Dvesham, Avinvesham. Five things, Panchaklesham they call it. After that, that Ahangaram comes. And when Ahangaram comes, karma begins then. So if Avidya is not there, then Kartava, Bhoktava won't be there. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer won't be there. So the thing is, that one who has established in knowledge, Jnana Nishtha, it's called, he does not have these five things in him, which is avidya. Avidya, asmita, ragam, dvesham. Avidya, asmita, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham. These five things, right? So, what he is saying here is that you have to see this through Krishna. In Krishna's life, how it worked. Because after all, he is speaking Bhagavad Gita. In his own life, how you look at these things in his life, right? And Krishna was working all the time. Throughout life he has worked, right? And he did not think about whether the result is good or result is bad. He never thought like that.
Yeah.
And he also did not never looked at the results of the karma. That's how Krishna acted in this world. Never looked at the result, right? Just like we look at the results and we say, oh, this is good, this is bad, and this is right, this is wrong, and this is pious results and this is sinful results. In this way, like we analyze the results, Krishna never analyzed the result in that way, right? And if you look at that way, you cannot say Krishna was very successful for all the karma what he has done. Krishna was not successful in all the karma. A lot of karma was a failure from our point of view, if you look at it, right? Then what is Krishna's success then? Krishna's success is on the spiritual plane. On material plane, if you look at Krishna's karma, it was a failure. In many places, it was a failure. For example, Krishna went to negotiate with Duryodhana not to have the war and try to persuade him from fighting and withdraw from the war and all. He tried very hard to negotiate with Duryodhana, and Dhritarashtra didn't work. He failed. Krishna failed in that, right? That's one failure. Lot of things in Krishna's life is a failure from our point of view when you look at it, right? And similarly, all the Yadavas at the end, the family whom he brought up, such a massive family with 16,108 wives and 10 children from all that, and what happened to them? They all beat up each other, killed each other, and the whole family totally destroyed at the end. So when you look at that, was it a success, family life? It was not a success. Krishna's family life was not a success. If you look at it that way, right? Similarly, when Krishna, Gandhari cursed Krishna. Remember that, yeah? In Mahabharata you will find that, yeah? And Krishna couldn't do anything about it. Gandhari cursed Krishna. Similarly, Draupadi's children, all of them were killed by Ashwatthama came and killed all the children. He couldn't save any one of them. After all, Draupadi was so dear to her, dear to Krishna. And still Krishna could have saved, but he didn't do it. He couldn't do it. In other words, they were all killed, right? Then Abhimanyu, they all worked together and managed to kill him. Krishna couldn't save him either. So in many instances, if you look at it, the result of karma was a failure. As well as from our point of view, when you look at it. But from Krishna's position, if you look at it, it is different. This is what we have to understand from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's secret is all these things, right? So, where is Krishna's success then? Krishna's success is, even though all these things have happened, he was not affected by that. Not totally unaffected by anything what happened, right? So from outside, if you look at it, from outer life, he was not successful. And it is not possible also to become successful in the world outside. Perfect life, success, won't happen. Anything, if you take and look at it, you will analyze it, you will find outward life. Outer life, you can never be success. Inner life, you can be perfect. And that was Krishna's success. inner life, Krishna was perfect, not affected by anything, able to execute the outer life without caring for its after effect. That is Krishna's success. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. Right? And this is why, this is the reason you will see in the, remember Krishna used the word kushalam akushalam. This is what it is. When we say kushalam akushalam, that expertise or the skill is this. That inner world you can be perfect. Outside world nobody can be perfect. Outside world, Maya has a lot of things to do with it. And there you can't be perfect. No matter what you do, you will find so many things going wrong. But inner world, if you can be perfect if you want. And that was Krishna's success. Krishna's success. And this is the reason when you meet Mahatmas, you don't ask them, how are they? How are you? We normally what we ask. And when we ask, we expect an answer from them saying that the... We don't ask Mahatmas, how are you? You don't ask that. You shouldn't ask, because for them, the world outside is not real. The world inside is real for them. You will see this, when Prithu Maharaj met the four Kumaras, there is a discussion there. And there, Prithu is saying, it is in the 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 14th verse, Bhavalsu kushala prasnam, Alma rameshu neshyade, Kushala akushala yatra na sandhi madhi vrtaya. Like the way Krishna is used here, kushalam akushalam, the same word is used there also. Kushalam akushalam. Your welfare and all your problems, right? So there Prithu and Sanat Kumara Maharshi, when they, Sanat, he said this, that I am not asking you whether you are well or not. Prithu says this to him, right? Like you go to realized people and you think, are you doing well? Are you keeping okay? You don't ask that question to them. Because if you ask that question, you are stupid. If you ask them this question, you are stupid, right? So, the reason for that is, he's saying there, the second line, Kushala akushala yatra na sandhi madhi vrtaya, right? Kushalam akushalam, yeah? For realized people, it doesn't exist for them. Kushalam akushalam. Do you understand what I'm saying? That this, we, in our mundane life, we inquire about their health, their family, and their friends, their job, this, that, and the other. This is our way of life, isn't it? Because we are inquire about the external life. Internal life, we don't inquire. For realized souls, or those who are on the higher spiritual platform, for them, the life inside is more important, not the world outside. The world outside, they don't consider kushalam or akushalam. They don't even value it at all. And we value that more than the life inside, the knowledge, world inside, right? So we go and ask them this question, kushalam, akushalam, like we are asking that, are you, how are you doing? How are you keeping? Or things like that, what we ask, that is no relevance to them. That should not be asked to them, right? And that is what he is saying here. Alma rameshu neshyate. You shouldn't ask that question to them. Bhavalsu kushala prasnam. Alma rameshu neshyate. Kushalam akushala yatra na sandhi madhi vrtaya. So that what Prithu is saying there to for Sanatkumara Maharshi is the same thing what Krishna is saying to us here. And Krishna's life is that. Krishna never acted in a way that what was happening outside is not affecting him. Whether it is Mahabharata war, Rasa dance, or Rajasuyam, or whatever it may be. And that is what Krishna calls as the secret of karma. How to perform karma in that way. And that is how. But if you analyze Krishna's success otherwise, lot of things Krishna has failed. It didn't happen the way we would have liked to happen. So Krishna's point is this. Outside world, don't worry about the success and failure in the world outside. That has no meaning at all. And that can never be perfect, no matter what you do. And in his own life, he has shown to us that it cannot be perfect. But inside world, not being affected by the outside world, and able to maintain that spirituality inside, that is Krishna's success. This is the important lesson to learn from these verses. Krishna's point is that internally you have to be successful on the spiritual side, that how to remain unaffected by the world outside and not being affected by that. Yeah. So, therefore, and that is why what we said here, bhavalsa kushala prasnam. And this is the reason Prithu didn't ask the Kumaras, how are they? Didn't even ask that question. Atma rameshu neshyade kushala akushala yatra na sandhi madhivartaya. Right? So, this is in advanced spiritual people, you won't see them asking each other, how are you doing or how are you keeping and all that. Won't be. Like two sannyasis meet, they won't ask each other. Yeah. If they are asking, then they are not sannyasis. That's all I can say. If they are asking that, right? Because for them, it is meaningless. It is meaningless, right? So that rule Prithu has followed there. And Krishna's life is the perfect example of that, right? Na sandhi madhivrtaya, right? Kushalam. And that Krishna has spoken. Kushalam, akushalam. Earlier he mentioned that nanu sajjade nadvesti akushalam karma kushale nanu sajjade. In the 10th verse he said tyagi sattva samavishtam medhavi chena samshaya. So lessons to learn from Krishna's example is these things, right? So Almaramas, it is for Almarama. They are all Almaramas. Krishna is Almarama, isn't it? Almaramaschamanayo nagrandha virukrami kurvandhya havidhubhimbhakti mitram bodhagunahari. So Almaramas, they don't have kushalam agushalam. Kushalam agushalam doesn't exist for them, right? So, these five causes Krishna has explained in that context. So, that's an important verse to understand. That Krishna is the example of that verse. How he has conducted his business in this world. The result from outside when you look at it, a lot of failure in that. But inside, if you look at it, total success. Total success. Totally unaffected by everything what happened. Is it not? When you analyze Krishna's activities here, you can see that. Yeah. So, then look at the next verse. Tatraivam satikartaram almanam kevalam tuya Pashyat agrita buddhitwal nasanasabashari durmadi. That is the 16th verse, right? When it is like this, right? One who takes the soul as the doer, when he thinks like that, or one who thinks I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, right? He says, Vedanta Acharya Upadesha Nyaye Agrita Buddhitvad Asamskrita Buddhitvad. It says, right? That person who is doing like that, he is Agrita Buddhi. Agrita Buddhi means doesn't have the proper knowledge. Vedanta Jnanam. Knowledge of Vedantam he doesn't have. That means he has not become spiritual yet. This person who has not understood all these things, he has not even understood spiritual life. You see how serious matter is. We are thinking we have understood spiritual life. What have we understood about spiritual life? Spiritual life, when you understand, you will see the difference of the world activities and the activities of the inner world. That Krishna is talking about all these things to make us understand that in spiritual life, at least you should get to know these things first.
He is saying here, if he has known Vedantam, he says here, Vedantam, Vedanta Acharya Avidwan Kasmat.
Why is he called Avidwan?
Why? Vedanta Acharya Upadesha Nyaye Agrada Buddhitwad Asamskrita Buddhitwad.
He is saying, Agrada Buddhitwad, Asamskrita Buddhitwad. Two things. What does that mean?
It means that he says, first of all, he doesn't have the knowledge. Vedanta Jnanam, he doesn't have, right? He has not heard about Atmavidya, knowledge of the self, from a qualified person. And because he does not have that, Agrita Buddhitvad, that is why he is not able to see the difference between the spiritual life and material life. And he does not have the proper darshanam in him. Samyak darshanam, what it is called. Therefore, he is thinking like this. And therefore, he cannot be taken seriously.
Says. Krishna says he can't be taken seriously. Ajaya Swami is saying this. He cannot be taken seriously. Because he does not understand anything about spiritual life. Right? So, one who does karmam and think I am the karmam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, right? This is not apramanikam, it is. Yeah? Means that nobody is kartar bhokta. Nobody is kartar bhokta, right? Who does karmam? Prakriti does the karmam. Yeah? These are very fundamentals in spiritual knowledge, right? Prakriti is doing the karma. Prakriti, that same words in the Bhagavad Gita. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. Right? So, Prakriti is doing everything. That understanding, right? So, one who has ahankaram in him and he thinks that I am the doer. He thinks like that, I am the doer, right? To understand this better, you know, the Google manufactured these driverless cars? And they were testing it in America, all that, right? So, without driver, the car was driving around and it was causing a lot of nervousness, right? So, what they have done, they have put a robot there in the place of the driver. And this robot is not driving it actually, but he is there sitting like a driver. And he will act like a driver, he will show with his hands and legs everything as though he is driving it, right? This is our situation actually. Sometimes children also, when they were small, they will sit in the car and they will show learn to do driving. When they are 3-4 years old, they will car won't go, but they'll just sit there and turn the wheel this way, that way, and get some pressure out of it. Similarly, we are doing karma, right? And we think that we are doing big things in this world. Everybody thinks like that, right? But actually, we are not doing anything, right? Like if you are sitting, when you are learning, you are sitting next to the driver. Without your knowledge, you will apply the brake. And all these things, right? In the same way, whatever we are doing in this world is like that. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam works like this. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, right? So, that thoughts that comes to us, I am doing it, I am enjoying it, I am getting the results and all that, is in the same way. And because we are feeling like that, that is why this material existence is continuing all the time. Samsara. Continues like that, right? So, once the knowledge, proper knowledge comes inside, and if that knowledge is not strong enough, then you will get dragged into this again. So, and you will get caught back, caught up in that life again, right? So, the only thing Krishna is saying here is that even though you may have heard Vedantam, right? But if you have not practiced the sadhana and through mananam, nididhyasanam, if you have not, that avidya has not gone from inside, this karta bhokta will come back again. And then you will get caught up in that again. It takes a very long time in spiritual life to become free from this karta bhokta thing. After hearing a lot and then your own personal experiences, and a little bit of investing time in the sadhana, you gradually start realizing that there is nothing much you have to do here. It will all happen in its own way. You feel your previous concepts were all false, that you are doing something and you are getting the results. Very slowly you will get to recognize that it is not you who is doing it. Some higher force is working behind it. And that is what the examples of Krishna's example and other things, right? So that's what he is saying here, that karta bhokta, avidyaya parikalpite kriyamanasya karmana aham eva karta idi kartaram atmanam kevalam shuddham tu ya pasyati avidvan kasmat vedanta acharya upadesha nyaye agrada buddhitval asamskrata buddhitval, he says, right? So then he says, dehadi vedrita almavadi anyam atmanam eva kevalam kartaram pasyati asau abhi agrada buddhi eva ada agrada buddhitva na sapashyati atmanam tattvam karmanava ityartha. So if this knowledge is very deep rooted inside in a person, right? And he had reached that stage, proper knowledge has come through mananam and reflection and vijaram, right? It can still happen that this karta bhokta can come back again, right? Therefore, he says, this freedom from karta bhokta has to be achieved through continuous reflection on that throughout life. One has to do that. And then nididhyasanam, and inquiring, who am I, who is experiencing this, who is having this thought coming, aham karta, aham bhokta, right? And if that aham karta bhokta, when you inquire about that, then you realize that it is for the ahangaram, it is not coming from the self, from andaryami, right? And through vijaram or through reflection, that thought should once for all disappear from inside, right? Only then you can say that that person is a liberated soul. It's a liberated soul, right? So the person is becoming free at that moment, that when this ahangara vritti does not come back again. If ahangaram does not come back again and break this feeling, I am the doer enjoyer, till then he is not liberated. He is still, ahangaram is working in him, right? So even though he looks like Nara, but actually he is Narayana himself, right? In other words, he is not human being anymore. He has acquired that Ishwaratvam, has come to him. For such a person, there is no vidhi or nishedham, do's and don'ts. For such a person who has reached that stage, right? So he says, ko nidhi ko such a person, that he says, ko vidhi ko nishedha. Make to understand it better, that he has become one who has lost this I am doer enjoyer from inside. He has reached like the powers in the forces present in the nature. He has become like that. For example, he says here, right, the powers in the nature, if you observe them, right, they don't have kartrutva bhoktutva, is it not? Like the wind blowing. Or you can put it like this. Yeah. You know, when natural forces happens, we don't blame them, do we? Cyclone happens. Forest fire happens. Earthquake happens. These are all forces, natural forces working. When they create devastation, we don't blame them. Nobody blames them. Because we understand there is some higher power coming behind it. Right? For example, tsunami came. Tsunami, remember, some time ago. Tsunami came, a lot of people died. Right? Nobody blamed tsunami for that. Because everyone felt that they don't know something what has triggered this. They don't know the cause behind it. Right? Same thing with earthquake, floods, cyclones, forest fire and things like that. Right? We don't blame them, any one of them, when they happen. Right? So, the reason for that is, when Prakriti Shakti, the powers in the Prakriti, when they act, right, there is no Kartratva Bhoktratva in that. There is no Kartratva Bhoktratva in that. When Kartratva Bhoktratva comes, only we blame people, each other, for what has happened. Yeah? So, this knowledge is necessary to understand the next verse, what Krishna is going to talk about. The next verse, this is the background behind that. Yeah. So, when natural forces are working, we don't blame them. Why we don't blame them? Why do we keep quiet? We simply accept it. Earthquake happens, floods happen, forest fire happens, cyclone happens, tsunami happens. Nobody says anything. Everyone keep quiet about it. We just accept it. Why? Why is that? Because when they act, they are not acting like the way we are acting. They are acting like the way Krishna is acting. Yeah. Without involving in the, they are just doing what they have to do and they have come and done and gone. And these forces are working what Krishna calls it as Devam Chaivatra Panchamam under its umbrella. It's working on a totally different plane. It's not working in the same plane like we are working. We are working on the umbrella of Ahangaram and Mamata. Ahanda and Mamata, right? They are not working under Ahanda and Mamata. That's why you can't blame them anything. We are working under Ahanda and Mamata, therefore we blame everybody. If we do something wrong, then we will blame each other. Like war happens, we fight and kill each other, and then we blame each other for everything what has happened. Is it not? That's how everything happens in this world. Again, even in there, Devam Chaivatra Panchamam, that fifth power what Krishna spoke about, is highly involved in that, which we are not conscious of. Yeah. So when natural forces work, and when they produce devastation in the world, we don't blame them. Because we don't know why it has happened, right? And those decisions of these natural disasters and the way the disaster comes and how it does things, their decisions are made on that higher level, not on our level. Our decisions are with Ryagam, Dvesham, Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam. That is samsaram level, material existence, right? So, the reason is that then we say, oh, we can't do anything about it. Those forces are not in our control. That's the reason. You start saying this to each other, that we can't do anything about the tsunami, can we? Or the earthquake. Sometimes the earthquake comes, and a lot of land and everything goes underneath the ground. Thousands of people gone from this earth. Their home, everything destroyed. Yeah. So, why is that that we don't say about it? Whereas we'll be very concerned about if one country does something wrong against another country, or personal level, if you give trouble to somebody else, that person will take it very seriously and react to it, right? So, because these forces are not under his control, right? Similarly, in the same way, a person who has surrendered to that higher power, right? And he has become a force like one of these forces, who is creating devastation, like earthquake. This also a force only behind it. Earthquake, floods, cyclone, fire, all these things, right? So, when he becomes a power like that, he himself becomes a power like that, then that person, when he acts, he is not bound by anymore. He is not bound by anymore, right? And through that person, a lot of good things will happen in this world. So, with such a person who is acting like that, through him, a lot of good things will happen in this world, right? Simply by his presence, many big things will happen in the world, right? Therefore, Patanjali calls that person samadhi status dharma mekha samadhi. He calls that in this Yoga Sutra. He calls it like that, right? And you can understand that. Look, that's why Puranams are trying to educate us on this area. Because we don't understand so many things about spiritual life, right? So, because he's in that samadhi state, right? In his presence alone, a lot of dharmic activities will happen. So, dharmam naturally comes through him in a natural way. Because he has gone about this aham mama, that stage has gone from him, right? So, because of his presence alone, he calls it as dharma megha sthiti. Megha means cloud. When the cloud showers dharmam, in such a way it will happen. So, for example, Krishna killed Kamsa, right? And that's dharmam, it says, dharmam, right? And similarly, Krishna killed others also, Putana, Shakadasura, Trinavarta, all of them, right? That is all included in the dharmam. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkaram dharma samsthapanarthaya, right? Similarly, in Ramchandra's appearance, he killed Ravana, right? That's all included in the dharmam, in the dharmam category, right? So, because the purpose of coming itself was to finish up all that, right? If you ask that, was it right thing to do, to kill others like that? Will that not affect Ramachandra for doing that, right? we are finding difficult to kill a small thing. We think, why should we kill another living entity, right? And even military people, army people, right? When they have to kill, do they not get affected by that? When they have to kill somebody else, right? But they have been given the order to kill, so they go and kill them, right? And for they get recognition for that, for killing. When the army goes and kill others, they get recognized, they get different honors, isn't it? PVSM and Veera Chakra, Paramveer Chakra and all kind of honors they get, right? Why is it like that? Because they don't have kartrutvam in that. From the dharma point of view, they have not done anything adharma. And it is not considered to be wrong thing what they have done, right? So where does this come then? When the guilty feeling inside, that is, wherever you feel kartrutva buddhi or bhoktrutva buddhi, when that comes and you struggle from that, and for that there is the rules and the vidhi and all other things, right? That is where all this justice and other things apply. Is it not? For example, another country has attacked, one country has attacked another country, and this country is defending, and it has to go and kill other people there. Nobody will question that, what has happened, right? But if we kill somebody here within the country, you get questioned. So, this law applies only to, in situations like this, right? When samharam is done, or destruction is done, you can see that it is in the background of this, you have to understand the next verse. Because the next verse is very hard to understand. Yeah. keeping this perspective in the mind, you have to look at the next verse. Yeah. The decision of one should be punished or not punished is depending on this. That means that under certain circumstances you can kill. It is necessary. Killing is essential and you get recognized for that. And the same killing if you do in another place, in another situation, you will be locked up or you will be punished or you could be hung even at the end. Right? When Lord Shiva destroys, destruction happens. He is doing it in the same way like the natural forces are doing. But we couldn't say that Lord Shiva, because he destroys everything, we can't think of him like a destroyer. You can't take it like that. He is doing it like the way natural forces are working. Right? Cyclone is coming, earthquake is coming, forest fire is coming, and all those things, all natural disasters. We call it natural disasters basically, but what that means is that things beyond your control. That's all it is. Similarly, Lord Shiva's destruction of this also belongs to that category. Right? So, therefore, from all these things, you can understand one thing. Motive is the one which makes a karmam right or wrong. The motive behind it, right? If you say, I want to kill somebody because he has done something to me and I'm going to kill him, and if you try to murder him, and if you do that, for murdering attempt, they can arrest you and lock you up, right? Only thing is, you have made some plan inside to kill somebody. You have not done it. You have just planned. But that motive was sufficient for you to be arrested and to be put into prison, right? So, whereas the military person, even though he has gone and killed somebody, he is not arrested or he is not being punished for anything, right? So it is this motive behind everything. That is what is deciding whether it is pious or sinful, right or wrong, or karmam or vikarmam, what we call. It is this motive that what we call as karmam, vikarmam, pious or sinful, right or wrong, in this way. It is a motive that what is, we are judging it on that basis, right? And it is on that basis, in the next verse, Krishna is saying that a self-realized person, Atmajnani, right, and one who does not have kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam in him, even if he does anything in this world, destruction, he is not doing anything. And he gives this example, Rudra, Shiva's destruction, right? Look at the next verse, yeah? Yasya naham krito bhavo, buddhir yasya na lipyade, hatva bisa iman lokan, na handi na nibadhyade. Very, very, very important verses, because karmam, we don't understand basically, is it not? Whole science of karmam, Krishna is summarizing again, what is Bhagavad Gita's subtle side is all these verses. Yasya nahankrado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa iman lokan na handi na nibadhyade. Profound statement Krishna is saying there. You have to see all these things with Krishna's life in this world. Krishna fought, involved in the war, practically engineered the whole war. Na handi na nibadhyade, not bound by anything, right? And so many disasters happened during the war. Many areas, from outwardly when you look at it, why? Then people ask this question, why? How come Krishna didn't protect Draupadi's children, which he could have done? Why didn't he do that? And why was Abhimanyu allowed to get killed? And how come that, why Krishna allowed all his family members to beat up each other and kill themselves? So many questions come, right? Krishna is not bothered what has happened about it. All that what has happened in the outside world has no bearing on inside world. in Krishna's inside. Yeah. So that principle again Krishna is pointing out in this words again. He's saying here, ka punaha sumati ya samyak pashyati iti uchyate. He's saying, who sees things properly, that's what he's saying here. One who does not have yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate hatvabisa iman logan na handi na nibhadyate. He's saying that when one does not have this ahangaram inside, that I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, and one whose intelligence is not touched by karma, he, whatever he does not affect him. Yeah. And he is not bound by that. And this is how Krishna acted always. Krishna acted always on this basis. Yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate hatva bisa iman lokan na handi na nipadyate. That is the point he was making here. Right? So, what that means is absolute freedom. Absolute freedom, right? And that is the message of the 17th verse. You have come out of karma. Karma cannot control you anymore. Whereas, as long as this I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is there, you are bound by karma. Then it's a completely different set of rules. But once you have come back from out of karma and you have become totally free from karma, then you are not bound by any rules. That's what Krishna is pointing out here in this. Yeah. So that means you are situated in a state where you don't have karma in you. Karma has left you. And that is what is called Naishkarmam Siddhi. Yeah, Naishkarmam. Naishkarmam Siddhi. So this verse is talking about a jnani or a realized person who is situated in that Naishkarmam Siddhi. Right? So he has no connection with this world, no attachment anywhere, and avidya has completely gone away from him, and his karmam is naishkarmam. This word naishkarmam is very important. In the Bhagavatam it comes, naishkarmam avi achyuta bhava varjidam na shobhate. So all those things, right? So this is the topmost position in Vedantam. This naishkarma sthiti. Not based on pious and sinful results, dharmam, adharmam, not in that plane an advice given. It is not an advice given on that plane, dharmam, adharmam, punyam, papam, in that plane. Normally all moral instructions are on that plane, is it not? All moral instructions are on the plane of dharmam, adharmam, punyam, papam, on that level, right? But this one, this verse is not on that level. This is above that. One who has moved out of karma. Once you have become free from karma, then what that means is that you are in the Naishkarmam Siddhi. And if you are in the Naishkarmam Siddhi, dharmam, adharmam, punyam, papam doesn't apply anymore. You have to read these verses again and again to get that clarity inside, right? Purna jnana nishtha. That means he is fully established in the truth, right? And he has become more or less acquired Ishwaratvam in him. That means avidya maya has withdrawn completely. Vidya maya has come back. And nothing is binding him anymore. He is not bound by anything. A person like that, that is his situation, is what that verse is talking about. Yeah? That verse is talking about that. So, such an important verse in the Vedantam, that verse, right? Yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate hitva bisa iman logan na handi na nibhadyate. These are very, very, very subtle topics in the Bhagavad Gita. These verses, what we have discussed this morning, they are very subtle verses. Yeah. There should be no doubt about one thing. The topic of discussion in Bhagavad Gita is knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. Alpajnana. Right? And that is the same topic discussed in the Upanishads also. Upanishad Vishayam is the same Vishayam in the Bhagavad Gita as well. And therefore, there should be no differences between Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. Right? And great, great Acharyas also don't have any difference of opinion about it. That Bhagavad Gita is only a topic related to self-realization and the knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. And you can see now how things are gone out of control now. People are talking all kinds of rubbish based on Bhagavad Gita, as you know very well, that they talk about personality development, anger management, and all kinds of things they are saying. But Bhagavad Gita has nothing to do with all that. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita was only self-realization, nothing else, right? So, it is the people who came later, they interpreted Bhagavad Gita in a different ways, right? Some people say it is karmam, some people say it's bhakti, some people say it is yoga, and different people started using Bhagavad Gita to present their viewpoint. Some people will say Bhagavad Gita is all about yoga. Some people will say it's all about bhakti. Some people say it's all about karma. It is a subsequent problem. But one thing agreed by all the great authorities on Bhagavad Gita is a book of knowledge. There is no question about that. Yeah. So, even Ramanujacharya, Vaishnava Acharyas like Madhvacharya, they are also saying Bhagavad Gita is jnana. They agree with that. Yeah. So, but they will say in a different way, they will say, through jnanam you will develop bhakti. Through jnanam you will develop bhakti. But the topic of discussion in Bhagavad Gita is jnanam. That they don't disagree with that. Right? So, so they don't have any disagreement on this between among the acharyas themselves. Right? So this is why any shastram, for that matter, right, it should be studied in the shastra sampradayam itself. On a traditional way it should be studied. Not like the way we do these days, you know, running courses and seminars and all that. That's not the right way to do it. Because it will pollute the whole thing. The pure knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will be polluted by other processes when you bring them in. Different. You can see some people, they all want to write a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, right? And they keep writing from what they understood about Bhagavad Gita. And that is sometimes damaging. Obviously they are attracted by Bhagavad Gita. That's why they have been studying it. But because they have not studied in a particular sampradayam way, obviously they will start relating that with the world outside. Bhagavad Gita is a science of the inner world, not the outside world. When you start relating Bhagavad Gita to the outside world, automatically there will be problems. They won't understand it properly, first of all, right? And then they will justify many things in this world, what they are doing, in the light of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, devotees are fighting about this war in Ukraine. Ukraine devotees and Russian devotees are fighting because of this. Because this science of the inner world, they have brought it to their world of ragadvesham. And they are applying it there, saying that Ukraine is justified in doing what they are doing, Russia is justified in doing what they are doing. But actually, they have not even understood, none of them have understood, that the science of the soul is this Bhagavad Gita. Until you realize this self, and success and failure in the outside world is not what you use for judging the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, which most of them are doing. That's how they are doing it, right? Even this question is with the GBC, even they are arguing each other. who is right. Russia is right or Ukraine is right. So it has reached that level. I'm saying that how, when they don't see the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is talking about here, yeah, then you make a lot of mistakes. Because when you start, this is a world of Maya. In Maya's world, Krishna says, there is no perfection possible here. What happens is, don't subject that to your spiritual principles. You don't use spiritual principles to analyze Maya. Maya cannot be understood by anyone. It will happen, various things will happen here. And that is what you learn from Krishna's actions also. Krishna didn't care what happened to Draupadi's children, Abhimanyu's death. After all, Subhadra's son, isn't it? So he would have probably concerned. He was not concerned about it. And same thing with his own family also, he didn't care. Because all these things is a part of Maya. You can't apply the Bhagavad Gita's knowledge into Maya and try to understand Maya through that. This is where the mistake is happening to everybody. All these people who are using Bhagavad Gita, they are thinking that they have understood Bhagavad Gita. They have not understood Bhagavad Gita. This is the problem. If your Bhagavad Gita is only related to knowledge of the self and self-realization, and there Krishna is saying, you can become perfect in that free process, right? You can become perfect. Outside world, what's happening? You have to leave it to the Maya and to her roles. You won't become perfect there. Nobody can do anything perfectly in the world outside. Any karma, if you take for that matter. Any karma, if you do outside. And this is the principle Mahatma Gandhi also had. That is why, even though he knew that a lot of things have gone wrong outside, inner world he was accepting that Krishna's influence on these, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, okay, today we are judging Mahatma Gandhi and saying so many wrong things about him, that he didn't make the right decision. That is Maya. Maya works like that. And once you know Maya's way of doing things, and the whole thing can turn upside down again after a few years. So that's the way the world runs. So not to judge Maya based on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not for the Maya. Bhagavad Gita is for those who wants to understand the knowledge of, because perfection, Krishna is saying, perfection is only possible in the spiritual plane. In mundane level, it is not possible. Because it will be always tampered by Maya, one way or the other. Whatever you do here. So, that's an important point here. So, therefore, all Shastram should be studied in that Sampradayam system, right? Otherwise, even if you study Bhagavad Gita in a very, impartial way, you won't get it. Still you won't get it, right? That is the reason why Sampradayam is important. Whether it is Dvaitam, Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, whatever it may be. The one good thing about them was that they never brought Bhagavad Gita to the mundane plane. They never did that. Whether it was Acharya Swamiji or Ramanuja or Madhva or any of them, Nimbarka, they never discussed Bhagavad Gita connecting with the world outside. Bhagavad Gita is a science of the inner world. Inside, what you can become perfect. That's what they were pointing at. Okay? So, so along with that, the Shastram, another problem with Bhagavad Gita is that it has to be with Upasana. One has to have Upasana as well, and the Shraddha for that. Only then this will become, it will have its results. If Bhagavad Gita, if you are studying, if the results have to come, and that spiritual growth to happen, Upasana is required. So everything what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is for your spiritual growth, not for your material success. That difference we must be very clear in our head. So when someone comes and tells us that we are running a Bhagavad Gita course for you, oh, you are an executive of JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley or whatever it is, it will help you, or Ernst & Young, whatever it may be, it will help you if you attend our course because you are an executive in that. You can take it that he is doing a marketing technique there. He is using Bhagavad Gita for marketing. It has nothing to do with the reality. So, acharyas are saying that if you study Bhagavad Gita, it is a jnana grantham, book of knowledge it is, and it's purely for your spiritual perfection, where it is possible to become perfect. As Krishna said about that naishkarman sthiti, when you get that, but that won't come by Bhagavad Gita studying alone. With that, shraddha is required, upasana is required. With all that, a combination of all that, right? So, you can compare that with our life in this world. For example, a doctor, he has to go and study in the medical college for a few years to become a doctor, right? He can't take a few books here and there and start reading himself and says that I can treat others. That won't be acceptable. He has to go through the system, isn't it? Similarly, if you want to study logic, or if you want to study Ayurvedam in the same way, right? There are a lot of interesting books from all these fields, right? And nowadays in the media also, you can see in the YouTube and all, many, many doctors are coming out and saying different things. How you should diet, how you should exercise, and what they have found out in their experiences, things like that. They keep on putting it out all the time, right? The problem is when you hear all that things, you also start thinking, why not we become a doctor ourselves? And then what we do is we go and tell everybody else that this is how it should be done. So and every doctor wants a patient for treatment. So if you are sick, then they come and tell you what you should do, right? So the thing is that Ayurvedam is like that. Ayurvedam also has become in this way, right? Ayurvedam also has a method of studying that. Air, bile and mucus and analyzing on things like that, right? And you have to go in that track only, the traditional way of studying Ayurvedam. But instead, now what has happened is that they picked up from all these bloggers and other things, and they have become Ayurvedic doctors, and they are also practicing, and they are also running a business out of that, and people, customers are there for that, right? So Vedantam is not an intellectual gymnastics. Vedantam is not intellectual gymnastics, right? It is a shastram, what the rishis have found out with the intention of doing something good for them, because everyone is looking for a direction in life, in this world. Where are we now? We are put into a situation where we don't have a clear direction in life. Which way to go? What are we doing here? All these questions do come in everyone's life. We keep asking this question, is it not? So, it is for such a person, Bhagavad Gita will help. One who is asking this question within himself, that why am I here? What do I supposed to do here? Where is it going to go at the end? When you reach that level, there Bhagavad Gita will become somewhat useful, right? So that is why they will say, Krishna is also saying that in a way in Bhagavad Gita, right? When this particular knowledge comes to a person, then he does not want to know anything anymore, if you have reached that state. That's what Bhagavad Gita does. He says, if this knowledge comes in, then you won't ask that question anymore, that you want to know something more. That thing has gone from inside. If you look at the sixth chapter, you will find, Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate natiyam tatha. That verse. Yeah? Sixth chapter, 22 verses. Yam labdhva chaparam labham. See, Krishna's words are very profound. Because it's all related to the soul, we really don't feel that the depth of that verse what Krishna has spoken. Yeah, we have not understood it properly. Krishna is saying, Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nathigam tatha yasmin sthito madukhena gurunabhi vijayate. Famous words, right? One who thinks that there is nothing higher to be known after this, Why does he feel so? Because he has practiced it and he has become perfect in it. Once you have achieved perfection, then only you will say, I don't need to know anything anymore. I'm totally satisfied. I don't want to know anything anymore, right? And such a yogi, he says, he even if he is hurt by weapons, he is not affected. Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nathiyam tada yasmin stito na dukhena guru nabhi vijayate. Even heavy disasters comes in him, to him, right? He is not disturbed. That state, yeah? Naishkarmasthiti, that state. And he said Naishkarmasthiti, most difficult thing to understand. Understand means that as you have to look at examples of people who have done that. And from that you have to learn. And Krishna is the best example of that. Naishkarmasthiti. To act in this world in that state of Naishkarmi. And Krishna did a fantastic job. From outside world, when you evaluate Krishna's activities, you may think it was a failure in many places. But inside world, Krishna was a total success. Perfect in spiritual plane. He was totally perfect. Nothing disturbed him in his activities here, right? Even when, at the last minute, when wives were jumping into the fire, when Krishna was, and Arjuna was taking the wives back to Indraprastham, the cowherd boys came, attacked Arjuna, and stole away all that women. All these things are in the Bhagavatam at the end, right? All these things had nothing to do with Krishna. There's nothing to do with Krishna. Krishna is totally in that inner world, in everything. He came 125 years, he did many things here, but all that he did outside world did not have created even a scratch inside. To such an extent it was clean inside when he left the world. That Naishkarmasthiti, that is the perfection of spiritual life. Naishkarmasthiti, totally being unaffected by the karmam of this world. And that is what this verse is talking about. That Naishkarmasthiti, yasya nahankrito bhavam buddhir yasya na lipyate hatvabhisa imani lokan na handi na nibadhyate. So this is a different, what they say, different kettle of fish. It's not the ordinary religion. It's not religion he's talking about. Yeah, what he's talking about, he's saying here that whatever distress comes here and whatever suffering comes here, being able to remain unaffected by that and that knowledge, that puts a person in that state, right? This is not establishing a religion in this world. This is not establishing a religion in this world, right? Or creating an institution or a group of people who are following a particular book and things like that, right? Rishis didn't do that for this reason. Bhagavad Gita finishes like that. Rishis never gave this knowledge to the world in that context, that you preach this to the world and make everyone become a follower of your group and then you make a religion of your own, different from others. No, that's not the principle here. The principle is very simple, that outside world, don't mix that with the inner world, spiritual life and perfection, because perfection is only possible inside, in the spiritual life. Material life, don't look for perfection. Modern world today, all religions, if you look, it's a total mess it is, right? They have, on the basis of their success and failure in the outside world, they judge a religion on that basis. How many followers have come and joined, or how many followers have left? And in this way, this will continue forever, because that is Maya's domain. Maya will do what she wants to do. You won't be able to have any control. What Krishna is saying, that you have one freedom, that is in the spiritual plane you can become perfect if you try. But on mundane plane, don't try to become perfect. It will never become perfect. Even if you succeed in something, very next moment it will be turned upside down. This knowledge is required, but it is never taught like this in any other processes, other religions, they don't talk like this, do they? They will debate and debate and debate day and night, and they don't get anywhere with their debates, right? But this is important in life to know. Krishna is saying that this perfection, if you want, from where you don't fall anymore after that, and you have no more questions after that, you don't want to know anything more after that, and you don't want to do anything after that. Karmam goes away. Jnanam has become perfect. And desires have all left. And proper realization has come, means that you started seeing the things as they are. Maya's world, Maya's domain, you can't fix it. Better not to try that. It won't work. It won't happen either. So, saying that, rishis have done for this reason only, right? It is only after Lord Buddha's disappearance, this kind of thing started. You know, this getting followers and making institutions and things like that. In the Krishna's time, this didn't exist like this. It's after Buddha's time this has started. And this knowledge, which is coming in Bhagavad Gita, these are people who sat in the forest, and that's where they were doing the research, in the forest. And they were not interested whether others were following them or not. They had no interest in that, right? Or they were not interested whether somebody is giving us something to do something, right? Very silently, they sat in the forest, and in their deep absorption through the Vedic knowledge, right, they gave us this knowledge and they left this world. That is the rishis. That's what the rishis have done, right? And that we have to feel that gratitude for them, for what they have done to this world. Because this knowledge is the only one that will ultimately make us properly understand spiritual life, right? So, you can say one thing, that it was Buddha, the first person, who as a personality came and then centered around him, a religion started developing. It was from Buddha. And then Jesus, and then Prophet and all others followed after that. But first it was Buddha again who started that. Centered around him, a religion started developing around him, like that, right? So, it was a mistake, but why we say mistake? Because once you start that process, right, people will come in groups and join that particular group, right? And who joins? Some of them may know it, some of them may not know it properly. Institutions are like that. You get a lot of people to come and join the institution. And you may be thinking that all of them have understood the philosophy properly. No, they don't. Some of them may know something, some of them may not know anything. He may be just there for roti, kapda and makan. He has come there for that, yeah. But he is in that level, what can you do? He is just happy and he may attend some programs in the temple, Mangalarati and Guru Puja and all. He thinks that I have done my bit. I don't want to know anything more than this, as long as I have my livelihood. And you may think about him in one way. You may think that he is also part of the institution, so he must be knowing everything. But he doesn't know anything. And same thing with somebody else who may be knowing a lot more than that, right? But what happens in this situation is that after some time, those who have some spiritual desire, they will also lose it at the end, right? So it will be always a mix-up of these two things, these type of people, every institution. It will be a mix-up of all these kind of people. People who know something, people who don't know anything, and people who know a lot more, right? So, but this knowledge, what Krishna is saying here, is that Krishna calls it as confidential, isn't it? Very confidential, he says, right? The reason for that is, he says, one who is qualified to know that, let him know. He is not looking for everyone to know that. He says everyone may not know it, but one who is qualified, who has the Shraddha, who has the Vishwasam and Bhakti, and he will get to know it. Somehow or the other, he will get to know it, right? So this is how all these different vidya has come, right? So, and combination of all these different rishis' realizations together is what Vedavyas is saying considers Vedanta. Yeah. So, basically what that means is, it is not to become successful in material life here, this knowledge. It's not for that. To become successful in your material life. Or it is not for becoming some big person in this world. Not for that. Right? The idea behind that is, behind this knowledge is, by practicing it and realizing it, Shanti comes. Shanti comes in life, satisfaction, and all desire to know anything further goes away. Right? And then you may ask a question, it does not happen to everybody. Right? If you further probe into it, you can see this can only work in few individuals. Few individuals only, it will work, right? And to think that this knowledge can be used to improve a society or a family, it will not work. Only very few selected individuals who have qualified for this, if they practice it, they can become perfect and they can realize the truth. That's only how far it will take you. It cannot help anyone to think that I will use this knowledge to help a society or a family or a group of people. It won't work. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it is a very personal thing, Bhagavad Gita. Don't get it mixed up with all what's going on in the world. Bhagavad Gita is for a person who wants to realize the self and who wants to reach that state. Like the way Krishna has shown to the world, you have to follow that route. That's the only way it will work. Like Krishna has shown to the world. He came, he did what he wants to do, what he has to, he left. And all the things what happened here did not have anything affected him. Nothing affected him. He was able to stay stable throughout and left this world after and left the knowledge for others to follow. Only that way Bhagavad Gita will help. If you try to use Bhagavad Gita for any other purpose, you are wasting your time. It won't work. It's as simple as that. I mean, we have to analyze this in the proper way. And that is why Bhagavad Gita is for that individual who wants to become perfect and knowing very well that in material life that won't work because this is Maya's domain. And that Devam Chaivatra Panchamam will always come. It has come in Ramchandra's life. It has come in Krishna's life also. That's what Krishna and Ramchandra have shown to the world. That even when they were here, they didn't try to make the world perfect. They were trying to teach us how you can become perfect in the platform of the soul, inside, inner life. That's the only way to work. But unfortunately, we don't talk about all these things to people properly. And therefore what happens is, it becomes like another mundane business. You gave a lot of books, a lot of people, and a lot of people are reading it and they are understanding something, what they have understood, whatever it is. And then they are preaching that to somebody else, what they have understood, and it becomes a total mess altogether, and that's what's happening now to many people. So that's what it is, right? So important thing is, it is for the individual. It is not for a society, it's not for a family or anything, right? Just like if you take the medicine, you will get your health back. Somebody else won't get it, right? Similarly, this science is like that. Spiritual science is like that, right? just because you have taken the medicine, your wife and children won't become healthy. You will become healthy in the same way, right? So sometimes people say, my parents have done so many pious activities, I am getting the results from that. And people say like that, don't they? Right? And we say, if we do pious activities, our children will get it. You know, all these kind of statements, right? That's just ignorance to talk like that. Yeah? Just like if I've taken the medicine, somebody else is not going to get healthy out of it. I may get healthy, but he won't get it, right? So, it is good that if you can stay healthy, but knowledge is not like that. Knowledge only, it's very much an individual thing. You get the knowledge, you will escape. You won't get come back again. And often people have a question about this. What is goal of spiritual life? You will see a lot of explanation to spiritual life in Puranams in different ways, right? Somebody will say, go to Golokam, somebody will say, go to Vaikuntham, somebody will say, go to Kailasam, and all this, depending on what form you are worshipping on that basis, right? But Vedam, Upanishads and all, they have only one message. The message is very clear. Come out of this cycle of birth and death. This is causing the problem. And that is not an easy thing, right? So, that is the important principle here. So, individually, each one of us have to follow those who want to free themselves, right? And in this is spoken also, especially like they compare this with our health. Health is only possible, what you take it is only for your body. It won't give health to somebody else's body in that way, right? Similarly, if I exercise my body may get the benefit, somebody else won't get the benefit, right? And suppose you have given a lot of money to the doctor and says that he will do everything because I have given him plenty, it's not going to work, right? Or just like you give a lot of dakshina to the priest and tell him priest will take care of everything. And the same mentality we develop. We say we took initiation from that guru, guru will take care of everything. No. This is all misunderstanding. The main thing to understand what Krishna is saying here is that say for example, if you ask the priest, you do the Surya Namaskaram for me and I'll pay you so much money, but I can't do it, you do it for me. It won't benefit us, right? So somebody else is doing it for us, won't help, right? Therefore, this Shastram one has to learn what Krishna has spoken, and it should be properly reflected, mananam, nididhyasanam, and realize it. And what is spoken there, the upasana, and perfect understanding of karma. If all that is done properly, then he is saying that, and if you have not reached that perfect understanding, it will go after some time. It will go after some time, right? But one thing is there, in the process of realizing this knowledge, even to some extent, if we have become free from selfishness, right? Even that will give you some shanti inside. In the process of cultivation of this knowledge and practicing it, even to some extent, if you have realized it, it will give you a lot of shanti inside when you become free from that selfishness. That selfishness will leave us, right? And that is the reason why Krishna said in the second chapter, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayat. Even a little bit of this knowledge gets in. Even it will save you from the greatest of fear. Look at the next verse, to 240 it is. Neha bhikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyade solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayat. Famous words in the second chapter. Krishna is saying there that even a little bit realization of this knowledge, he will become free from fear. Because it is proper knowledge it is. So that will release you from fear. Krishna is saying that. You may not succeed in this, to become like the way Krishna has become. It may not be possible in this lifetime, right? But what he is saying is that you may not be able to do big, big things like the way Krishna has done with Mahabharata war and all that. You may not be able to do that. But even if you practice a little bit of this knowledge, to some extent, right, it will give you a lot of shanti inside. So we were discussing these verses today. Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhami Sankhe Kadamde Proktani Siddhaye Sarvakarmanam Adhishtanam Tathakartha Karanam Cha Pradakvidam Vividhascha Pradakchesta Devam Chaivatra Panchamam Shariravang Manobhirya Karma Prarabhadenara Nyayamva Vibaridamva Panjaide Tasya Hetava. So, tatraivam sadikartaram alpanam kevaladvya pashet agradabuddhitval nasa pashyati durmadi. We saw those verses and then finally Krishna said, yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatvabi sa iman logan na handi na nibhadyade. This is knowledge, pure knowledge of what is self-realization here. Yeah? That's what he's coming from. So, Panjaidani Mahabaho, he said, Karanani Nibodhame, in that 13th verse, he said. So, karmam we do with the body, and then the senses required for doing the karmam, and then when you're doing it, a pride in that, ahangaram, in the doing the karmam. So, body, we are doing the karma, and senses are helping the body to do the karma, senses of knowledge and sense of action. And then our ahangaram in that, shariram, karmam, karanam, indriyam, and then the ahangaram. And finally, all these things we have to analyze properly, right? Shariram is what he called it, is like a reservoir, adhishtanam. He said, that means every single body, every single person, right? One body, if you look into another body, they are not the same. It's not. Even in appearance, it's not the same. Apart from that, there is a lot of differences in that person itself, between two persons, if you take, right? Even if you teach them all in one school, in one class, right, and the same thing you have spoken to all of them, at the end you are not able to bring them out in the same mold. They are all different. Even if you have put them in the same school, in the same class, and same teacher, and same subject, you have taught them, when they come out, they all will be different. They are not the same. Right? And you can put them on uniform to make them look alike. You can feed them even the same food to everybody. Rice, dal and chapati you can give them every day. Right? Even then, when they come out, they are all different. You have given them the same food, same education, same clothes. Everything you have given the same. But when they come out, they are different. Why? That's what Krishna is explaining here, right? This is the misunderstanding of the Maya. That Maya is Maya. We don't understand it. How Maya will do things, right? So, but oneness is not possible on a bodily level. It's not possible. Only possible on the spiritual platform. Oneness is possible. And that's what Krishna is explaining here. Right? So, physical plane, it's absurd. To make everything same is absurd. It won't happen. Right? So for example, we want in this world, everyone should think like us. And we should all become happy together. We should all love each other. And we should all be helping each other when disasters come. Natural disasters come. We say, immediately rush with the all the relief works. And we think that we are doing a fantastic job by relief work and all that, right? And we want everybody to be happy in this. You can talk all these things, but it's not going to happen. That's as simple as that, right? So, in Swabhavam, or in Pragriti, in Swabhavam, in Pragriti, in Karmam, and also in desires, we cannot be one. That's a problem. Our Swabhavam is different, right? Our nature is different. Means our vasanas are different, and our nature is different, right? And our attraction for karmam is different because of this. And because of that, the desires what we have is also different. Different people have different desires, is it not? And you can see this very clearly if you observe the world, how people differ in their desires. Things what we don't want to look at anymore, when you see the enthusiasm of the young people to enjoy it, and you start thinking, what a world we are living in. We have gone through that and we have seen the uselessness of the whole thing, right? And you just don't want to look at that side anymore. But when you see these young people, the enthusiasm in which in their exploration and their, how do you call it, the attraction for that, you just say, Aho Mayabalam, Mayabalam Vishnu said, Kashyapa Maharshi said that, isn't it? That's all you can say about that. When see that people, the difference in the people, I'm saying. So, and they are thinking, why are we not attracted to it? Like we are thinking, why are they attracted to it? And they are thinking about that these old people, they don't know how to live in this world. They have no attraction for this, right? So this is, the reason why it is happening like that is, every individual, his vasana, swabhavam, pragriti, this is all different, right? And this prakriti is what Krishna calls in the 13th chapter as kshetram. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. It is that kshetram what Krishna calls it as, is this prakriti he is referring to. Bhagavad Gita is a very, many words in the Bhagavad Gita has such subtle meaning behind it, right? And you have to know in what circumstances Krishna has used those words. Only then you will enjoy it, really reading Bhagavad Gita. When you get the understanding, that subtlety of the word he has used, right? So, kshetram, what he said was like a field, he said, right? So, in that field, there are so many seeds you have thrown to grow, right? And similarly, in our body also, there are so many seeds working there, our desires in the form of seeds. It's lying there, right? And when, as time advances, you will get to know how these desires are coming out one after the other. And they are not going. They are coming out one after the other, right? When you look at children, say 5-year-old, 6-year-old and all, when you walk along, you can see the schools, the children's small schools, children's, they're all playing together. And they're all enjoying together, playing together. They enjoy that, isn't it? At that time, you cannot notice it, right? After some time, they grow up, say 14, 15, 16, then these vasanas start coming out from inside. Their prakriti starts working, right? And what was inside lying hidden in a dormant stage, what start popping out, one after the other, right? And it is not easy to understand what they are up to. Straight away you won't be able to say what it is going to, how it is going to come out, right? And this is what is called Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam is this vasanas inside, or Prakriti, what is it called, inside a person, which is lying in a dormant stage, but has not manifested yet. In due course of time, they will come out in its own way. And then only start realizing, I never thought that he was going to do all these things. We talk about that person later, about the child, right? When he was a children, he didn't show any of these vasana, but when he grew up, vasana started coming out. So that is what is called Adhishthanam, right? In that Adhishthanam only, this ego is working, which one? Aham Karta, I am the doer. So Karta, I am the doer, is operating within this Adhishthanam, right? The question is, do we require this ego or not? That's another question, right? So, in the 8th chapter, Krishna has spoken about this, right? So, Prakriti, in this body of Prakriti, right, ego is a operational force within that, right? So, there he is mentioned this Ahankaram, ego, it's the 7th chapter actually, Ahankaram as a part of Ashtada Prakriti. Remember? Yeah. Bhumira Panalo Vayu Khammano Buddhi Revaja Ahangare Dhyeme Bhina Prakriti Ashtada. So this Ahangaram comes in that, yeah. So if Ahangaram is not there, you won't be able to sit here now. If Ahangaram was not there, you won't be able to sit in the Salsangam even, right? So it is a part of Prakriti. Ahankaram is a part of Prakriti, right? And Prakriti, that Ahankaram decides it should come here. Ahankaram decides it should go back, go home, and things like that. Ahankaram decides you should go into your house, not to somebody else's house, right? All this decision is made by Ahankaram. And that is what we call it as in a posh way, you call it as individuality. Actually, it is Ahankaram that... So, Ahankaram, you have to know what Ahankaram is first, right? Ahankaram is not just falsely proud about something. Falsely proud. When somebody is very proud, we say, big Ahankari, we say. Not like that. Ahankaram is this individuality in a person, which is coming out of this Ashtada Prakriti, right? There is no harm with that ego. Right? But to think that this body should live forever, that is not possible. Ahankaram is the one which is driving everything. Ahankaram is coming from the Adhishthana. So, it is about this ego Krishna is talking about here. Right? Karta. That Karta is that ego. Right? So, this ego is also required in spiritual life. Because it is that ego that is forcing you to do certain things, right? But, even in the spiritual world, you may have to control it, that Ahankaram, right? Yeah. So, for example, in life also, in order to do something, right? Everyone will have a way of doing it. He may have to do it, right? For some people, if they don't get big things done in life, they won't escape from this world. They'll have to do that, big things. That's the nature of that person, right? Or they have to invent something, or they have to get registered in this world in a big way. They have to be noticed by others. It's their need inside. Their ego is such, right? so This is in everyone's case. It is there, this ego, right? But Krishna's point is, that is ego deciding things. Instead, if you know your dharma, what so dharma means, right? And if you are able to find out what that is, then fulfilling that dharmam as your life purpose. There are two different things here. One, you are thinking how to become famous in this world or how to achieve big things in life, making a lot of money, become a very wealthy person, become a big politician, big power, holding a big prime minister's job or things like that, isn't it? So all these are dharma, all these are coming from that ego. Ego is, depending on the ego's vasana inside that person, right? That is deciding these factors, right? But in the olden times, what Vedam has done is, Vedam decided sodharmam for everybody and told us what our dharmam is, right? So that is why this division happened, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. So that based on the swabhavam of a person, vasana in a person, able to find out that, then one has to find out oneself, what his vasanas are. That is an important thing in life, to find out one's own vasana in life. What is my vasana? And that takes time to find out, right? And finding out that, and fulfilling that through the sodharma process, right? Brahmanyam, Kshatram, Vaishyam or Shudram, whichever that is. In that way, finding out one's own sodharmam and working in that way, living that life in that way, right? And because that is his tap of his energy tap, right? That means his pranam, if it works in that direction, it will do the right job, right? And if that tap is not open for him, then he won't be able to live in a happy way in this world, right? So that is the important topic. It's a big topic. We'll discuss it next Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
You know, they talk about the Srila Prabhupada, the